is mental health. It's an effort that I've been involved in, an area I've been involved in legislatively for a long time. Yesterday, the National Council for Behavioral Health gave me an award for what I'm doing to support mental health, and particularly for the Mental Health Act. But I contacted the White House again yesterday to say there is an opportunity here to do something about mental health. It's a topic that, for whatever reason, the country and the federal government doesn't like to deal with. In fact, after the Newtown shootings, the Senate Health Committee that has jurisdiction had a hearing on mental health in January of this year that was the first hearing they'd had since 2007. Now, this is clearly a problem that the country is not dealing with in the right way. I said the Saturday morning after Newtown at the food bank in St. Louis, when asked about it, that the one consistent thing in all of these tragedies is somebody who has significant mental health challenges that for whatever reason haven't been met, and we saw that again yesterday. So I reached out to Democrats that I'm working with on these mental health bills, asked them to contact the White House as well, and see if we couldn't create a an opportunity to deal with what's possible here. The bill that Senator Stabenow and I have worked on, the Excellence in Mental Health Act, I think is the most far-reaching bill out there, and what it does is it allows the federally qualified clinics to add behavioral health as one of the things that they deal with, and we have several clinics in Missouri already doing this. I think whether we had a pilot program opportunity or an overall change in the law, Missouri would likely be right at the front of that line that people would turn, that the federal government would turn to and say, let's see how we can do this and make it better. But the veterans groups support this legislation because of the needs that veterans have, many of whom aren't close enough to go to a VA-provided clinic, but could go to a local clinic. And so I'm hopeful that that model, the federally qualified model, and the moment of continuing to see mental health problems lead to these tragedies could create an environment where the federal government does what it should do and gets more focused on mental health. Let me give you four other bills just while we're talking about this that I'm a co-sponsor of. The first one, again, was the Excellence in Mental Health Act with Senator Stabenow. The Mental Health Awareness Act that Senator Harkin introduced, and I talked to Senator Harkin yesterday about this, along with Senator Alexander, reauthorizes programs that relate to awareness, prevention, and just of mental health problems. It just simply reauthorizes a lot of things that are out there on the books now. Senator Franken and Senator Johans and I have a bill, the Justice and Mental Health Collaboration Act, that extends the federal ability to ensure that people who've been told they had to get mental health assistance as part of dealing with bad behavior on their part, maybe even criminal or misdemeanor behavior, the federal government would continue to do what it would do there with another five-year authorization of that act. A couple of senators are standing in front of that act, going to the floor right now. Building another bill that Senator Reid has would, and he and I are the co-sponsors of this, would build a healthcare workforce to ensure that we have people going into this, encourage people to go into the behavioral health professions. And then the Mental Health First Aid Act that I've co-sponsored along with Senator Ayotte and Senator Begich is another area where Missouri is really way ahead. Having been part of Mental Health First Aid for a long time, where people can go to seminar, a day-long seminar, maybe longer than that if you want to get more involved, who are dealing with young people, particularly from scout leaders to school teachers to others who deal with young people and try to help them not deal with mental health problems, but to try to know how to recognize concerns that possibly should be referred to someone who would know how to deal with that. So I think there's a real opportunity here. It's an issue that been working on for a long time, particularly this year, trying to make it a front burner issue, and I hope we have a chance to do that. I'll also say, in regard to what happened yesterday, I think it creates, along with the Edward Snowden activities, another significant reason to look at the background check process that people who are becoming contractors with the government and have access to either facilities or information, and in many cases both facilities and information, how do people get through this background check? And if there are people getting through whose desire would be to do harm to others or harm to the country, as Edward Snowden wanted to do and wound up doing, what do we do to try to better identify that and see that that doesn't happen? There are people who obviously can be in the government that can do these things as well, but at least these two late examples of contractors who have access to information and facilities that you wouldn't assume people that wind up doing what they were doing would have. I had this morning. I had the nominee to be the Undersecretary of Energy for Nuclear Security in. We have a big facility in Missouri that has some components of what they do in the Kansas City area, and so it was good to see him. And I'll see him tomorrow as a member of the Armed Services Committee. One of the things I mentioned to him is that clearly. I'd be prepared, if I was him leading this agency, to both answer more questions beginning tomorrow and to look carefully at the safeguards that they have in place for the many contractors that they use, and many times appropriate to use. When you're hiring scientists or computer technicians for a short-term project, very likely the best thing to do is to contract that project out. But clearly, if you're doing that, we have to do a better job clearing people to have access to those facilities. So with a lot of talking about that one issue, there are other things as well, but let's talk about whatever you'd want to talk about. So let's go to questions, operator.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If anyone would like to ask a question at this time, you may press star, then one. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one. One moment while we wait for our first question. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one.
Well, operator, if there are no questions...
We do have some questions.
All right, all right.
Our first one is from Ken Newton of St. Joseph News Press. Your line is open.
All right. Good morning, Senator. I was curious on the GOP... leadership this morning announced that they were going to move ahead with a bill to defund Obamacare in the next couple of weeks, or I guess this week. I'm curious, and that bill will not get through the Senate. What are the odds now of there being a government shutdown?
Well, you know, I think what they're talking about today in the House. And you're right, they just announced this to their members this morning at 8 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock Central Time. But I think what they announced today was they would do a continuation of current spending for some time after October 1, and not a defunding of Obamacare, but a one-year delay of the individual mandate. And I'm not absolutely sure that couldn't pass the Senate. I mean, the president delayed the corporate mandate, the business mandate, the employer mandate. How does it possibly make sense to delay the mandate that the employer has to provide insurance or pay a penalty and still require individuals to pay a penalty who don't have insurance? I think that has a lot better chance in the Senate if it passes the House than a full defunding did, because I believe the president's position here is very hard to defend. Not only have they delayed the business mandate and maintained the individual mandate, but they've also essentially waived most of the income verification standards, which is why I have a bill to strengthen income verification. And when you, what does that mean? That means when you let people just sort of estimate what they think they might make this year as opposed to what they did make last year, you very likely have more people qualifying for higher levels of government assistance than might be the case if they actually had to have more proof of the income they had before they got on government assistance from the exchange. As I understand it, that's what the House House leaders proposed this morning. If, in fact, the House would pass that bill, I think that would have a – there would be a greater likelihood, at least, that that could pass the Senate than a full defunding bill, which is – where the House was in an earlier discussion.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question is from Bill Lambrecht of St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Your line is open.
Hi, Senator.
Hey, Bill.
What was the response from the White House that you alluded to on your suggestions, and what are the obstacles in the Senate as far as moving ahead with some of these bipartisan initiatives that you laid out here?
Well, that's a really good question. We've got a bipartisan bill on the Senate floor right now, and a lot of people want to amend it in a lot of different ways. And there's some suggestion by the majority leader this morning that that bipartisan bill on energy efficiency, we just may not be able to move forward. We've got to find some things we can move forward to. And I think the right way to characterize the response to our office from the White House was we'll have to get back to you on that. But I encourage some of my Democratic colleagues to call the White House as well. I haven't seen them yet today, the ones I talked to yesterday. And I'm hopeful that we can generate some interest down there. You know, the president is in a better position than anybody else to advocate for what the president would like to see happen that's possible. I think if there's one legitimate criticism of President Obama on that front, it's that he continues to advocate for exactly the same thing that the system has already proven it couldn't produce, as opposed to what would I like to see happen that could happen. I think advancing the mental health agenda is one of the things that could happen, and I hope we can convince people at the White House that would be a good thing for the federal government to take seriously at a moment when people are talking about mental health and mental health challenges and what that means not only in individual lives but in tragedies. You know, every person with mental health challenges is not violent. In fact, they're more likely to be the victim of the crime than they are the perpetrator of the crime. But it's also true that in all of these incidents, the weapon may change, the location may change, lots of things changes, but in every case, the one thing that is constant is that the perpetrator has extraordinary behavioral and mental health challenges, and they lead to something like this.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Chris Blank from Associate Press. Your line is open.
Morning, Senator. The President is planning on coming to Kansas City at the end of this week to look at the visit the Ford plant.
Lake Como plant, yeah.
Are you planning on also being there, or what are your plans there?
You know, I think that's a day when we're voting here. I actually, if I've gotten an invitation from the president, it must have gotten misplaced because we haven't seen it. But I'm pleased he's going. That's a great story. The expansion of that plant was expansion that I advocated. I was glad to see happen. I think they're either have already added or are about to add. I think they've already added and have announced a third shift. I know they've told me that's happening. That plant is running at in an incredible way, and the market for those pickups and the large van that will be produced there is going to be a great market. But I'm pleased to see the president come. It's his second trip to Missouri in a month or so, and I'm glad to see that he's going to be there.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Jennifer Davidson of KSMU. Your line is open.
Hi, Senator. The United Nations has just released the findings from its investigation into the chemical weapons attack in Syria, and although it fell short of outright and confirming that Bashar al-Assad's forces were responsible for it, they did determine with pretty remarkable accuracy where the weapons originated from, and alongside Human Rights Watch, it does give a pretty clear indication that it came from Assad's Republican Guard. Does this change at all your position on Syria and your actions?
Repeat that one more time.
Sure. The United Nations has released its findings looking into the chemical weapons attack in Syria, and they indicate that this attack was indeed perpetrated by Bashar al-Assad's forces. My question is, does that change at all your position on how the United States should react?
No. In fact, I thought that was the likely case, and in fact, I joined the president in condemning Bashar Assad. I do think that Assad is strengthened by what's happened in the last 2 weeks. And consequently actually benefited in a significant way from apparently using those weapons, bringing this to some conclusion, finding out that the red line wasn't so red after all, and the president's stated policy that he wanted the Congress to endorse was, at least as described by his Secretary of State, we're going to have an unbelievably small military action that Assad will survive. I think that's unacceptable. Assad has killed more people in the last 10 days than he did with the chemical attack. His planes and helicopters back in the air. They had, as of 2 days ago, the estimate was killed well over 1,000 people in the last few days, and they've killed over 100,000 people in the way that the president's policy would allow Assad to continue to kill people. And I am not for that. I think our Syria policy, if you can even figure out what it is has not produced a good result, I'm not for that. Let me go back to the first question. There were two things released this morning, maybe the second question, the one on Obamacare. So if you all heard that, would you listen again? I was wrong on that. Apparently what has been released is that it was the one-year delay in Obamacare for individuals, maybe one-year delay in Obamacare totally, but since you've already taken the employer thing out, the individual mandate's what's left, it would be tied to the debt ceiling discussion with the president, and that the continuing resolution bill would include language that would defund Obamacare. And if the question was, would that have a hard time passing the Senate, obviously it would. On the other point, I think that is a harder thing for the Senate to say no to in whatever context it comes over, that particularly the individual mandate would be treated the same way as the employer mandate. And I would just say, you know, this was all announced this morning, the two things had, in my mind, I'd heard the one-year delay was a new addition, but apparently it's not a new addition to the continuing resolution vote. And when that comes over with the defunding on it, I'm not for the president's health care plan. I think it's producing bad results. Walgreens this morning announced they were would be another major business that was changing their health care policy because of Obama's plan and changing it in a negative way. You know, the estimate at the time the bill was passed was that 3,000 people, or 3 million people that currently had health care, that employer-provided insurance, would lose their insurance. That estimate is now somewhere between 8 and 14 million, and that's low, I believe, of people who are going to lose health care coverage because of the passage of the Affordable Health Care Act. I actually believe that once this is implemented, you'll have more people uninsured than you had the day the House and Senate voted on the President's health care plan. I'd be for not moving forward, which means permanent delay, defunding, whatever it means. But that would I have a hard time seeing that getting 60 votes it would need in the Senate. Next question, if there is one.
Our next question is from Gentry Trotter of Multimedia PR News. Your line is open.
Hi, Senator. How you doing?
Good, Gentry. How are you?
I saw you on Meet the Press the other day. You did well. Senator, let me ask you a question. With the and I just joined you a couple of minutes ago, so I apologize. You probably have already said this, but will Congress have serious discussions and legislation on gun violence and gun ownership, which will prohibit things like the naval and school shootings in America? Where do you think we're going with this?
Well, you know, the naval shooting, as I understand it, and again, more information can still become available on this, was the individual had a shotgun and a pistol he took from a guard at the facility. Nobody's ever proposed anything except a tighter mental health screening that would prevent that person from having those weapons. One he took from a guard, the other one he bought as a sporting weapon that nobody has suggested would ever be covered by anything. I think what I did say maybe before you got on the call, Gentry, is I think the real opportunity here is to look at the mental health component and move forward where we could, and I'm going to continue to do everything I can to advocate that we deal with that important piece of this tragedy, but frankly, that overlooked challenge in American lives that for whatever reason we don't want to talk about, and we don't want to talk about where past decisions have led to now bad consequences. Information that can't be shared with whoever's responsible for the responsible party, someone that gets to be an adult and their parents are still very involved in their life and responsible for them, but the Privacy Act means that nobody can be told, not sharing information. I mean, the person at the Navy Yard had been to VA hospitals in the last month, I believe, twice, expressing significant mental concerns and problems. So even within the system of the federal government, there's no reporting of someone who then comes onto a facility using the credentials they have. There's no access to the facility that somehow he got on inappropriately. He got on because he had a card to get on and then did this terrible thing. But I think mental health is the opportunity here, and I hope we will move forward in what can be done rather than spend a lot of time talking about what can't be done.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. That it?
Our next question is from Austin Alonzo of Kansas City Business Journal. Your line is open.
All right, Austin, you're going to get the last question here.
Great. Well, I hope it's the best one. Good morning, Senator Blunt. Good afternoon in Washington. You know, here in Kansas City, we've been paying very close attention to a bid to host the 2016 Republican National Convention. I've talked to a couple people who think it's definitely a realistic possibility. And, you know, I just wanted to ask a quick two-part question of what are you doing as a party to bring the convention to KC, and do you think there's any possibility that the convention will land here?
Well, I'm supportive of that effort, and Kansas City city leadership, the mayor and others have been very supportive of it. I think Kansas City has a great location. It has the number of hotel rooms. They're closer to the convention site than would usually be the case. The convention site is not impacted by other by sporting events that time of year like other facilities in competitive cities might be. I think there's a very good chance this could happen, and I'd like to see it happen. It's great for the city, and it's helpful in a number of ways, and so I'm continuing to talk to the National Committee and the National Chairman and others. They had a regional event in Kansas City that Republicans did that I wasn't able to attend, but a regional event this week, and I hope it increased their appetite for coming back to Kansas City for the convention.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Senator.
Thank you all, and if you need to call about other things, we're here. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.